Give you just a second to look at Hebrews 12:1 and read that verse with me. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So which one of those do you think is the same word as the word conflict in Colossians 2:1? See? Well, I kind of tripped you up. They're all the same word. Conflict in Colossians 2:1. Contention in 1 Thessalonians 2:2. That's in the Old King James. Apparently, I was studying this in the Old King James. Apparently, they switched over to conflict in the New King James. Fight in 2 Timothy 4:7, and race in Hebrews 12:1. Especially conflict here in Colossians 2:1, fight in 2 Timothy 4:7, and race in Hebrews 12:1. I guess I've known those verses for a long time. I've meditated on those verses. I've made them a part of my life. And I've never put together the fact that in all of those words, all those verses, that's the same word. Whether it be us running the Christian race, or fighting the good fight, or the conflict that the world and the devil have against us, it's all the same thing. And so as we are living this Christian life, heading towards our home in heaven, it's not supposed to be an easy race. I love that verse, 2 Timothy 4:7. "I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, and now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Now, ever since I read this, I've kind of put all those verses, all those ideas, kind of together. And it's kind of opened up a new thinking for me anyways. What is the great mystery that has been revealed to us? Is it? And I left this one on there. You'll notice that some of these questions every week are new. Some of them I've used before. And that's because I kind of want you guys to get these things in your head and to remember them. But this one, I think, kind of fits with where we're going in the book of Colossians. So I think it's a foundation that we need to understand. Is it a Sherlock Holmes novel that there are deep secrets within religion that only the people in backdoor meetings understand? That if we work hard enough, we can get to heaven? Or D, Christ in you, the hope of glory. D. How many of you guys were in for the video this morning in Sunday school? Whether you were in Mr. Bowker's Sunday school class or pastors. I think that that's an important truth that Christianity and our Word of God holds true. That Christ in you, the hope of glory, is what you need to know. You don't have to go any deeper. You don't have to worry about, as he put it today, standing on the scales and seeing if your goods outweigh your bad. What does it mean that Jesus is the firstborn of creation? Again, I think this is tying into what we're going to be talking about and what we need to understand. He holds rank over his creation. He was the first thing that God created. He is the one who started the church, or D, he was a good moral teacher. Which one is it? A, he holds rank over his creation. He holds rank over his creation.
C is also true.
Yes.
That's not
what it means when it says that, but that would be a true statement. To avoid being deceived, the body of Jesus Christ should be, according to Colossians, should they be encouraging one another? Be held together like muscles and ligaments of the body? Be fully assured that Christ is the source of our salvation? Or be in good order like the military, not breaking rank to avoid being deceived? According to Colossians, it's all of them. And that's what I've been asked, because this is one of those ones I was thinking, well, maybe, but what does Colossians say? That one, Colossians says all of them. And that's things that we've looked at. And remember, Colossians, it's all about heresy and all about false teaching coming in. And Paul constantly bringing us back to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. As believers, we need to stand together in our foundation that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. What is the removal of hostility and the restoring of friendly relations to parties that have been at war? I just like this question. Is it A, justification, B, redemption, C, reconciliation, or D, forgiveness? C, reconciliation. And honestly, I think that if we took a poll of Christians and we asked them to tell us what those words mean, justification, redemption, reconciliation, and forgiveness, there might be a lot of them that don't know. They couldn't answer those questions. They wouldn't. Those are good Christian words. They come up in songs. But what do they really mean? And so that's why I've been repeating these questions and trying to get them in our heart so that maybe we can offer hope to someone who is at war with another believer. And we can encourage them what it means that Christ gave us reconciliation and how he can offer that to them. And how someone who is upset at Christ, what Christ did on the cross, and how reconciliation can be a big part of that. What is the antidote for heresy, lies? Knowing the Bible. B, going to church. C, a proper view of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. Or D, paying your tithe. C. When I put together the review questions this afternoon, I did that. And when I was thinking about the review questions, I honestly thought about that video that we watched this morning. It's, you can hear lies. You can hear things that sound pretty religious, but they can drive you away from the truth. And knowing the Bible, that's a good thing to do. Going to church, that's a good thing to do. Paying your tithe, that's a good thing to do. But what's really going to keep you away from the lies? Because the devil wants to make falsehood look really good. And he's going to make it sound good. But where he can't trip you up is in who Jesus Christ is. That he is the Son of God who came to this earth to die for your sins, and he is the only way to heaven. Amen. And that's the important part. And I think that's what Paul is trying to get at in this book. What is the only secret mystery that we need to know is found in, is it found in visions, Jesus Christ, communion, or special divine experiences? What's the only secret mystery that we need to know? Jesus Christ. Right? What is a memory of the past, a belief in something you have not seen, and the evidence of one's conviction? Is that grace, faith, hope, or love? Be faith. We're going to talk about, as we get a little bit farther in the book of Colossians, we're going to talk about the shadow of the cross. And I mentioned that this week to some weekend to some kids that I was sharing the gospel with. And I talked about how this Jesus Christ, his cross, it formed a shadow all the way back to the beginning, and it casts its shadow all the way to the end of human history. And I said, these stories that we read about in the Old Testament, they point forward to Jesus dying on the cross. And there was this one little girl, her eyes just got like so big, and she was like, could you explain to me what you mean by the shadow of the cross? And so I was telling her how, you know, this story in the Old Testament, that pointed ahead towards the cross. You know, this story that you've heard, it points ahead toward, this is all God's plan. And I love his plan. I love the way it fits together so perfectly. And I was able to share that with her, and that was kind of exciting, a neat thing. Because I just, her little eyes got so big, and she was like, oh, wow. How were or are we enemies with God? Hopefully for all of us, that's a past tense thing, but maybe for someone here, it's present. Was it first in our hearts and second in our minds? Or was it first in our minds and second in our behavior? Or was it first in our behavior and second in our words? Or was it first in our words and second in our hearts? According to Colossians, which one of those is true? It was first in our minds and second in our behavior. First in our minds and second in our behavior. All right? And I was trying to look that up where it was. Now I'll find it the second I get done today. And we've talked about knowing the truth of Christ. That was first from the first couple of verses of Colossians chapter 2. If we're going to know the truth of Christ, we must be encouraged. We must be united in love. And C, we must have a full assurance of the understanding of the truth. We need to know the source of our truth. Second, we need to protect the truth. We talked about this last week, that we need to be on guard. We need to protect the truth. Last week we sang Onward Christian Soldiers, or was it Stand Up for Jesus? Which one was it? I think we might have sang both last week, but we sang Stand Up for Jesus because we need to be in good order to defend our faith. And we need to stand steadfast on the truth of God. And we talked about how we need to stand together as believers, not breaking rank, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, doing our duty for Him. And this week, as we continue on, I'd like us to read tonight Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10, where it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principalities of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. As we read this passage, we know, we've been looking at how we are in this fight, in this conflict running this race, and we have an enemy. And the enemy wants to deceive us. The enemy, like we saw here in verse 6, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principalities of the world. As I read that, I see someone who wants to destroy you and me. And he is working hard at it. Those first few words, beware lest anyone cheat you. You want to know the first thing I think of there? That used car salesman. Now, if there's any used car salesman here, I know some great ones who are honest, but the idea is that guy who wants to sell you a lemon, and he knows it's a lemon, and he wants to cheat you out of something good. And he wants to sell you something that doesn't measure up. That's what the devil wants to do. We heard that this morning, that there are false religions in this world that are going to sound good. They're going to tell you to do good things, to give money to the poor, to fast, to go out of your way, to do things that are good, but they deny Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, as the only Savior of the world, the Son of God who shed His blood to forgive your sins. And He is going to slither in to your life to try to deceive you and do everything in His power to knock you out of what Christ wants you to do. He's like a crook who stands on trial, and everyone in the courtroom knows that he is guilty, but he looks at the jury and with beautiful words tries to convince the jury that nothing has been done wrong when everyone in the courtroom knows that there's a problem. Remember the glove. Remember that the glove doesn't fit. Where they stood and tried to convince a man, and I don't know, I wasn't there, but most people thought that O.J. Simpson was guilty. And lawyers stood up and painted a beautiful picture. And money was spent, and the words were crafted in such a way, and evidence was put to deny something that just about everybody sitting there thought was to be true. And honestly, as we look at the Word of God, and we take into account the truth that we find here, it's not that this book and Jesus Christ do not stand up to scrutiny. That Jesus Christ, if He were here today, would not put Himself on trial as the Son of God. Wednesday night in prayer meeting, we looked at how Jesus Christ Himself put Himself on trial, and He called witness after witness after witness to the stand to say that He was the Son of God. He said, what witness do you want? Do you want miracles? I've given them to you. Do you want God the Father to tell you the truth? Because He'll tell you the truth. Do you want the Old Testament scriptures to verify it? Because they will. Do you want people around to give witness, to tell the account that I am who I claim to be? Because it'll happen. The truth is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And He would put Himself on trial for that. It says there, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. When I think about walking in the Lord, growing in the truth, that's what I want to talk as we are continuing on this journey, this race, this fight, this conflict on our way to heaven. We need to be citizens of the kingdom who are growing in our walk with the Lord. As I think about believers who walked with God, I think about Noah. And I think about Enoch. I had planned on talking about Enoch this morning, and then I was encouraged by that video we watched in Sunday school this morning, in case you hadn't noticed that already. But as he said, you know, you got to know Enoch, the seventh from Adam. And he walked with God, and he was raptured.
Amen.
He was taken out of here. And that's a picture of what we're experiencing today. We're waiting for the rapture. And how do we know that Enoch was ready for the rapture? He was walking with the Lord. And I believe that when that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the Lord to meet the Lord in the air, I think it's going to be all those believers who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ are going. And there might be some question, who's saved, who's not saved? Well, I think if we want to examine our lives, it says, are you bearing fruit, the Bible says. Are you, right now, in your life, wherever you at, are you growing in the Lord? Are you walking with Him? And look at what it says in verse 7. It says, first, rooted. Are you rooted in the Lord? Do you have your foundation as Jesus Christ? And so as I see growing in the Lord, I really debated how to present this. If I were to present it like a tree growing up, or if I would present it as a building being built. And I think both are very, very good applications, what this means in our walk with the Lord. To be a building being built for Jesus Christ. Or to be a tree that is growing for Jesus Christ. To bear fruit for Him. I think both would fit here. And so as I think about what it takes to grow a tree. Or what it takes to build a building. That foundation. The rooting. That seems like kind of a quick step. Putting the foundation in. Or planting that tree. And our salvation. We can all think back to that moment when we accepted Jesus Christ. Now maybe it took us a little bit of time to get there. A little bit of planning, preparation. But what did actually happen? We got down and we surrendered our life to Christ, to Jesus Christ, and we laid that foundation. It was the most important part. But it happens pretty fast, getting those roots established, getting that foundation seated. I remember when we were building the house up at camp, or when we were building the big building, we did a lot of planning, a lot of preparation, a lot of preparing the soil. But in both of those situations, when it came time to pour that foundation, it was like, whoa, that happened pretty quick. I remember it was your son that did the foundation there, right? You and your son. That seemed like it was the fastest part. Once we got Tim there, it just, he did it so fast. And I was excited. And that's how we feel when somebody gets excited about Christ. We might have prepared the soil. We might have planted the seed. But when it first starts, or if you're planted a plant and you drop it in there and it pops right up pretty quick, you're excited. But the growth, that takes time. And I know, like, when a kid gets saved,
or when someone comes to Christ,
we might have spent a lot of time preparing the soil, prepping it. But when it actually comes around and that salvation, we're all excited. And we've got that good foundation. But then, here it says, we need to be rooted and then built up.
That building of a believer, that takes some time.
The time where it takes for a tree to grow to the point where it's ready to bear fruit. The time it takes to put the walls up and to make that building ready to function. That takes some real time. And there's times where you wonder if it's ever going to be ready. Have you ever wondered that about somebody that accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior? Wondered if they were ever going to be ready to serve? If they were ever going to be ready to be a mature Christian? There's times. But you got to keep teaching. Because we don't get it the first time. We don't get it the second time. Sometimes we got to hear that over and over again. You ever sat with a mature Christian and they say, I remember that person saying every week. Charlie Clark always told me, he always said, Annie Caroline always told me, do right, Charlie, do right. And I don't know how many times Charlie told me. He said, I don't know how many times Annie Caroline told me that. Do right, Charlie, do right. And so many other people, and maybe you can think of someone in your own life who constantly told you, do right, follow God, read your Bible. Or you heard the, pray, pray, pray. And somebody just constantly, and they just constantly kept putting that message into your head until one day, finally, it had sunk in, and you understood it, and you lived it. That building, that tree, also needs to be strengthened. It says, being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. And I chose the word strengthened there to say, you know, after the building process has gone on, after the growing, to become established, to be strengthened, to be a firm believer, someone you can depend on to build fruit. And maybe being rooted and built up, maybe those things are just for a time. But that, see there, strengthened, that's something that until we get to glory, and probably after we get to glory, I'm sure that God is still going to be teaching us things. He's still going to be helping us through, you know, when we're in glory, I think that we will continue to learn at the feet of Jesus Christ. And that's something that's just going to be something that we're continually doing, continually being strengthened, strengthening each other. We all need encouragement and to be told to do right. And to just learn new things from the Word of God all the time. I'm always amazed at the people who said, I learned something tonight. I think to myself, I thought you knew everything. I've sat and thought that before. I thought you knew everything. But I'm learning that we all need strengthened. And D, overflowing was the last word that I got out of there. And it says, and as you having been taught and abounding in it with thanksgiving. Why do you build a building? To use it. Why do you grow a tree? So it will bear fruit. Why do we walk with the Lord? So we can sit around and collect dust until the Lord returns? No. Service. service. And haven't we all met someone who we thought it's time for them, it would be perfectly fine for them to retire from a job that they've been doing for the Lord, and they're still serving Him? Haven't we all met somebody like that? That till the very end, they will be serving the Lord, continuing to bear fruit. So today, as we think about this, and as we are growing in Jesus Christ, do we see those things in our walk with the Lord? We can remember the time where our faith was rooted. We had that foundation. Our roots were planted in the Lord. Can we remember the time where we are being built up, where we were growing in the Lord, where we are being taught the foundations of the faith? Or maybe that's where you are today. That's okay place to be. Do we think about, and are we today being strengthened in the Lord? Do we have people who are encouraging us to continue reading the Word of God, to continue to witness? And is our life overflowing for Jesus Christ? I've seen a lot of examples of people who are today bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. Maybe by bringing others out to church, by serving Him, by encouraging others, a phone call to someone in their time of need, serving the Lord, reaching out, witnessing. All these things, are these things that we are doing to serve the Lord? Because the devil wants to deceive us, wants to try to convince us that we don't need to be doing those things. If we look at in verses 9 and 10, it says, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." Next thing I'd like to talk to you guys about is living the truth. Living the truth. Again, we have an adversary who wants to make you go off track, to lead you away from the truth of the gospel. But we need to live the truth. The first thing that we need is we need to understand the person of Jesus Christ, that He is God in flesh. It says that right there, right? "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." You want to be anchored in your faith? You don't want to go off course? That's where you need to begin. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. You need to remember Philippians chapter 2. "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself." He came down to this earth and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ is God, come down to this earth to live among us. And that needs to be our foundation. Paul brings that up so many times in this book. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you want to live the truth, you want to be anchored in the truth, you don't want to be swayed by the devil, that's where you need to begin. The second thing is that our identity is in Him. Don't you love these words? "And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." The devil is trying to play a game with you. But there's no point. When Christ came to this earth and died on the cross, He won the victory. And everything that you need. You are complete in Him. Those are some important words. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you are complete in Him. It's true. We'd all agree to it. But how often do we feel incomplete? That we don't measure up. That if we were to stand on the scales today, that we would tip the scales in the wrong direction. Paul's saying here, everything that you need, you find in Christ. Let Him do the work. Find your meaning, your purpose, your completeness in Him. He won the victory. He paid for your sins. He's defeated the devil. So follow Him. Serve Him. As you run this race, let Him be your partner. He's all you need. It's all right here. Live this book. Believe this book. So that when the devil comes around and he tries to throw a lie in there, you've got the truth. Right here. Jesus paid it all. Let's live rooted, built up, strengthened, and overflowing for Christ this week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that in You we are complete. That You have won the victory over sin and death and hell. That You are the Son of God. And Lord, as the lies fly at us, help us to stand united and to live for You. Lord, I thank You so much for the gift of Your Son. I thank You that when it comes to Judgment Day, You're not going to have us stand on a scale, but You're going to present Your Son as the payment for our sin. I thank You for that gift. Help us to live for You this week. In Your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.